Loretta, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a month after the cyclone was raging over the Oroville, right?
Yes, it is a month, isn't it?
How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel fabulous. I mean, I'm a little bit in the minority, but there are other people who feel like me, but I feel fabulous. The day after the cyclone was like so fantastic because there was such a tremendous change on all levels everywhere. And it's something that I was actually waiting for. Because when I came here 40 years ago and I lived in Oroville, there was a certain vibration that we all lived in. It was a kind of an atmosphere, and it was...
But that was the time the mother was still alive.
Mother was still in her body, but it lasted after she left. But, I mean, it's because of her, because she was building Oroville. And I think she was all that we felt was the inner things that were going on. Because if you read the agenda, or you even just read anything that she says, or you read what Sri Aurobindo was doing, they did all this inner work. I mean, if you read about World War II, all the work that they did. And Mother talks about working inside of herself with thought forms and finding like a series or a set of human emotional responses that are very, very terrible. And she has to work on them and she changes them. And this is what universalized beings do. We work on some little thing in us, and their consciousness is everywhere, and so they work everywhere. So it was like that. And when you walked on the earth in Oroville in the early days, you sort of felt like you were walking through many different colored waters, one after the other, or different colored air, one after the other. And each one was like a living thing. And it was so tasty. It felt so nice, and it was so wonderful. And looking back, I think these were like the opening tracks to new things that are being settled, that if one's consciousness is ready for that or is open to that, then you go on, and that's how you get things. And I think Mother was establishing all that stuff. And there was a sense of vastness and peace and wideness and something so full, all these kind of vibrating seed pathways that were all going on everywhere. And a sense of protection and a sense of security. And I left Oroville and I came back in 2001. And I thought I was coming back to that because that's what was really important to me somehow. I mean, everything else was fun, and you get to be a pioneer and build things and meet new people. But it was really those things that you felt and in the evening when the day was quiet or when you walked on the earth or when you sat at the edge of the Matramandir excavation, because that was just a hole in the ground at that time. But you lived in that inner feeling, and it was so wonderful. And then when I came back 10 years ago, I couldn't find it. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I mean, what I saw was that...
The seeds turned into something else.
I guess. I mean, I really don't know. What I saw was that nobody seemed to me to be feeling that or living that. Nobody seemed to want to talk about it, I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes you meet people and they carry with them an atmosphere, you look in their eyes, and you kind of know something about their consciousness. You see that they're not distressed, or they're settled inside, or they're feeling peace, or something like that. And I couldn't find any of that here. Everyone was racing around and doing all these things, and Everything was moving forward on the material plane and everything. But that thing...
Maybe that was the phase where everybody wanted that just to materialize the ideas.
I think it's not enough to materialize the ideas without the ideas.
Because yeah, but that gives you, at least to the physical form, that gives you a task and put your body into motion. And for a long time, actually, majority of the population on planet is happy with that, is contented with that.
Well, it's a good escape because what, I mean, what Mother said somewhere many years ago, I read, the best of a man is in his work. And I think that's because we concentrate our beings and then we receive the vibration. But, I mean, to go back to what you said, the idea of the manifestation, the idea is the vibrating seed of the pathway that you walk for the manifestation to happen. Because, and I'm going to digress just briefly, everything will happen here if the inner work is done. Because that's somehow what brings it. Somehow some magical thing happens and the right person shows up at the right time and the right thing happens and the thing that didn't work yesterday magically starts to work, God knows how. But it's because the inner attitude is there. And the inner attitude, we can't even manufacture an inner attitude. It's opening.
Something has to come from inside.
Something has to come from inside that is open to the manifestation of the seed idea in its right harmony through the person.
Well, you think that devastating effects of turning all the trees down could bring a piece of that to us to reflect, to sit down, to do some inner work? Not only building, trying to materialize the ideas?
Yes, I'm sure that that's true, because when something happens that hurts you, and it hurts you enough, you stop and ask.
You think it was enough?
I think it was certainly enough for me. And it was enough for you, I know that, because we've talked about it. Mm. I think it depends on the development of the person. Mm. I mean, there are... You know, some people are going to be dragged, kicking and screaming into the new creation, and there are some people that are running for it.
True.
So it depends on the person and what they're doing and if they're ready. But I think that a lot of people here in Oroville are ready. There's something that Sri Aurobindo wrote called The Hour of God. And there's part of it where he talks about the fact that there are long spaces when nothing seems to be happening and a little work seems to be going on. But down underneath, all the work is going on.
And then it's just a leap.
And then something happens and it all starts coming out. And he says, I can quote this part. He says, but the hour is often terrible, a fire and a whirlwind and a tempest. A treading of the winepress of the path of God, or the winepress of the feet of God, because it's winepress. But I think this kind of Holocaust thing happens on all levels. So that it's not just that something happened where we see materially that we lost trees, and then we feel, oh my God, we made a mistake, we shouldn't have lost the trees. I think there's a much deeper thing that happens. And I've been thinking recently a lot about 9/11 in the United States. Because 9/11 happened in New York. And before 9/11, I've been in and out of New York. And New York is a tough place. And the vibration was tough, and the people were had no time. And there was kind of a rudeness and a coldness and a toughness and a closedness going on. And 9/11 happened. And I was in New York a couple of years ago, and it was a different place.
Yeah, those things have changed.
It has changed.
All levels, yeah.
Has changed on all levels. And I don't think it's only just because people feel bad. I think something comes in this cataclysm of nature that's very deep and that changes the person inside immediately. I'd like to know more about it because I think it's really interesting because we are made of the earth. And this is the forces of the earth that are acting. And we are part of the forces of the earth. We're built of the forces of the earth. So it's all one. It's all on that level. It's absolutely all one. So when there's this tremendous movement that affects the earth, it also somehow affects us. Well, and this thing that Sri Aurobindo says in the hour of God, so the hour of God is not physical things crashing down, but inside of us, things crashing down. And because I know in myself, I could feel changes in my own consciousness. Ways of being that I wanted to have that I wasn't capable of achieving were just there.
Mm. How did you feel that night of cyclone? Because it was probably the first and the most spontaneous response to that blackness, to that unique sound of nature. What were your thoughts?
I thought about the fact that nature was reacting very strongly. Mm. And I looked out and I watched the trees and they were bending so hard and I was worried about the plants. I went out and I moved all the plants that I could so that they... And I don't think anybody expected that this would be such a strong cyclone. Other than that, I just waited for it to be over. Mm. I knew people who had premonitions. I talked to one woman who said that she started having these nightmares for several days and terrible things were going to happen. And she thought it had something to do with her progress and her sadhana. And my neighbor kept having these anxiety attacks. And she said she didn't know what to do with them. She just tried to surrender them to the mother. That's really amazing. I never expected anything. I mean, you asked how I felt. I felt fabulous. Every day, I was thanking God for the richness and beauty of my life. it didn't affect me like that. I can hazard a guess, and it's really a guess, because it sounds very egotistical, but I spent so much suffering work on trying to clear out all the stuff that's accumulated in the development of my personality in this life and the reactions that I've had to my family and my life and spent really days and hours in really a lot of pain. And it's entirely possible that therefore those things, I had a certain amount of success because it's certainly not over. Hmm. I mean, the purification process.
It's a process and it's all, actually, whole life thing, not only a question of 1 year or 2 years.
No, it seems like that, doesn't it? Hmm. And when you start on this and you're so attracted to whatever this is, the beauty and the light, mm. you have no idea that how much you're going to have to face. Mm.
What do you think about Dr. Karan Singh in that his last visit? He mentioned that maybe that is the way the nature or the divine is showing us that we should change the spiritual behavior.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's basically what I've been saying. I've just been saying what the spiritual behavior should be. Hmm. Because I mean, what I'm trying to get across is that you meet someone and you know they're doing this or you know they're not doing this.
So.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Hmm. You meet someone, you know they're cleared out or you know they're not cleared out. You know, and you get to know people and you see the small circles of worries that drive their lives. And the reason you see it is because you've seen your own. And you know, and then you at least can take what they're bringing because you understand, you know, that they're going through things that are tough.
Each of us is walking its own path, yeah?
It has to be.
And the, it's on peace. That's how it is. But I just remember, you know, I think we met 1 week after, something like that, or 10 days after the cyclone.
Yeah, I came into the radio for
something. Yeah, and you looked so excited, and you said the mother's presence is here, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you felt.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I think I said I was in bliss. It's that thing has come back. I mean, I have to say that for 10 years, ever since I returned, I have looked at that every day because I missed it so much, because that's the only thing that I really care about. And when you talk to people who have experienced a little of that and they get back to that, they remember that that's the only thing they really care about also, because it's so tasty. and it's not far away. It's something that you just feel inside. And if you remember to stop and slow down and say, where is it? And then it's there. Hmm. And I really had trouble finding it until the cyclone. The cyclone did something really special. And I also have to say that I think that the earth itself here is returning to its true nature. Because when the trees came down, and I love trees and it hurts me to see a tree down, but it also hurt me to, I looked at the tree lying on the ground and the roots, they had no roots. And I tried to understand what it was. And it's because this earth is a certain kind of earth. If it has water in it, it wholly turns to sand. And that's why we don't have lakes in the monsoon. We have huge rainfalls, and whoop, it goes right down into the earth. It turns to sand completely. But if there's no water, it's like a rock, and you try to dig it, you can't dig it. So the trees, roots.
So we should actually, you're saying that we are trying to plant, and we shouldn't be planting.
Should be planting the kind of trees that belong in this earth. That's
true.
Real.
Yeah, because in the place I live, the neem trees are fine.
There you go.
The rest are gone.
There you go. Did you notice the roots?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no root. There's this little...
Just flat something, yeah.
Just a little kind of... Like if you took your arm and you made a fist and you curled all your fingers up in your fist... That's what the roots look like. And the roots are supposed to look like the fingers are going down into the earth.
Yeah, true.
Although I did note, I mean, and then the trees that made big roots, those roots were all lying on the surface. So that when there was that much rain and the earth was wet and the leaves were full of water and there was nothing to hold the roots into the earth, the tree just naturally fell over because there was nothing to hold it. But I also think it's a little more than that because, I mean, I think I have to, my feeling is to go back to the incredible beauty of the Tamil culture, not the present day tremendous movement forward in the prosperity of India where everybody's running like crazy, but the underlying devotion and spirituality and peace where the people were close to the earth. And they, everything was slow and beautiful, and they spent their time making paintings on the ground everywhere, and flowers everywhere, and peace and beauty and wideness. And that's a living vibration.
But that is almost gone.
Well, I feel like it's come back with the cyclone. Something about that has reestablished, and I wouldn't be surprised if that surfaces now in the Tamil people. But I think it's somehow mixed up or combined with the living presence of this earth here, this part of the earth here, which evolved that way of human life when they were closer to the earth. And I think that should live. One of the things that I have felt is that this, the idea of coming into a different part of the world where, let's say, it's completely underdeveloped and coming from a developed country and building your country's abilities and industrialization and lifestyle in another country's devastated place is a good idea for other places, but not for this place. You're not supposed to bring the past with you. So that if people are trying to reestablish everything...
But, no, I won't agree with you. I think that's wrong for all the places. The Europe with intellect does try and did try for centuries destroy the rest of the planet by it.
And that's true. Actually, that's
look at
true.
The South America, South Africa, they are destroyed. Okay, they got industry, but the soils are damaged.
And that's true. You're right, and I'm wrong. That's true. And it is also true here.
If, you know, as I remember, Asomade said that if you don't respect the culture here, we are not worthy to be a Rebellions. And I would agree with her. And I would agree in any case, on any piece of the planet, I come as a visitor.
And that's true. And we are visitors here. I think you're right. I think you're right. I have a tendency to want to go back into the roots of the culture, because now there's such a surface mix with the West that all the local people are grabbing so quickly. And I can see, no, that's true, because then our responsibility, you're right, is to not give them that, but to have the wisdom and the vision and the peace to be able to understand how we can give them what we have.
Maybe we haven't worked on ourselves yet, because actually that primary thing we could get in our countries as well, but we don't look at it. We look at, you know, toward the future. We look toward the better things, and actually we are poisoned with commercialization, with industrializations, with all the technology stuff we got, that we don't have time to look backward. Because if each of us go and look backward, not in a way that I deny the prosperity, but still, if I do have time to reflect upon what the earth I'm standing on is telling me, I can go forward.
You're right.
Not to be poisoned by the sugar, the sweetness of Western, if we call it Western. If I say Western, we know what I mean, yeah?
Yes, the Western.
No, I mean all the so-called civilization we so praise on somehow, and everybody are trying to grab because they got the feeling that it's better, but I find it like a sugar, you know? It's really addictive.
Yeah.
It's so addictive.
It's
all these
escape.
Gadgets, all these ways of doing things, and it seems like so simple, so easy, but the way they manipulate your life, they take your life.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And if you don't have time, then you can't, actually, you can't do it nowhere.
I agree with you. You have to go into your own body and your own being and what your truth is and what your relationship is with the earth.
And it was really nice to be without electricity.
No, it was. The only thing I missed, actually, was the refrigerator.
For what?
Well, it meant that I had to go shopping every morning because the milk spoiled. And
you should stop drinking milk.
Well, if we had no electricity forever, I guess I would have to.
I think something. I mean, it does make our life easy, but it also makes us work harder on the way. Somehow I got the feeling, sometimes I got the feeling that it's not, that is the strange force I'm not really happy about is pulling us that way. It's much easier. Of course, I agree. It's easier to have a fridge. It's easier to have a computers, TVs and stuff. But it's pulling me that way, and I have to think about it, and I have to maintain it, and I don't like it.
I think it has to do with the right use of things. What you said reminded me of something.
It's so much easier to just fell in and that's it.
Yeah, but you can't toss it because it's in front of you. Mm. You have to face it. There's a something that the mother said, and it had not to do with machines, but it's exactly the same thing if you make an analogy. Someone was asked her a question during the questions and answers when she talked to the children. And the question was, how do we get rid of this love that comes after us and won't leave us alone? And she started to laugh, and she laughed and laughed, and then she said, and in, I can't say it in the French, maybe I can, let's just say it in the English. She says in this very slow way, like she's really feeling, she says, to go through.
Huh.
And then she talks about all different kinds of love, which I can't quote properly, but then she says, what you need to do is you need to stop loving wrongly and to learn to love well.
Huh.
And that's it, because there's tremendous human progress in things like the Hubble telescope, where we can see the stars, and tremendous human progress in capacities in computers that we now communicate all over the world. It's just we are one in cyberspace. So it comes, like you keep saying, back to ourselves. How do we handle it?
We did. We knew how to communicate already before 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. During the process, we become unsure if it's certain what I'm hearing. And that's why you need to be spoken out, you need to be written down, and you need to be typed on a computer.
Well, Mother and Sherminu talk about it all the time, because that's the end result of the yoga.
It is
to get to that. And I mean, they detail all that stuff, you know. And it's hard to remember, you're right, because people get really bogged down.
Because we don't have time.
You have to make time.
If you draw the parallel from 1972, when was the cyclone of, I think, the similar magnitude raging over Pondicherry and Orville, you were here, yeah?
I was here. But again, I was totally protected. I had gone into Pondicherry for something, I don't remember what, and I was staying in something that was there then called the Orville Guest House. And the Orville Guest House was down near the Park Guest House, Parc à Charbonne, the beach guest house. And it was an old Tamil house on a side street, and the walls were literally 3 feet thick. And the bedrooms had no windows, and the bedrooms were big enough for a bed, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the night in that, and I never heard a thing.
Really?
Yes. And I woke up the next morning, and this cyclone had happened. So, no, I had nothing at all. And it did something very interesting to the service tree in the samadhi. Because Mother early on had told the people not to prune the service tree. And the service tree at that time had these huge branches. And people in Orville and outside who've been to the ashram will know where you put your shoes inside the ashram. Not outside where you leave your shoes, but if you come inside, there's a place to put your shoes. And there was a branch of the service tree that had grown all the way, and it was at about 4 foot height, stretching over where you put your shoes.
Mm.
So you had to kind of do this contortionist act to get your shoes down there underneath this branch. And they wouldn't cut it, because they said, Mother, the branches are growing low, and people have to bend down. And Mother said, well, that's good. At least they will bow to something. and the 72 cyclone cut that branch.
Mm-hmm.
And the 72 cyclone very nicely pruned the service tree in right where it needed to be pruned.
Oh, okay. That's your way.
It was nice. But it also took down a lot of transformation trees and a lot of trees in Oroville. But the bottom line is, this is cyclone country.
Mm.
It is cyclone country.
But Mother also wrote some things after the cyclone, yeah? She reflected upon it.
She did. And I believe she basically said that the rage and the fury came because people basically needed a spanking. and they needed to be told that they were doing something wrong. But this comes back to this whole thing of this movements in the earth. It's our job to take the earth forward, because the earth has come forward in us. We have grown out of the earth. We're free walking agents on the surface of the earth. And we are the earth walking in bodies. And we've been given so many capacities and so many powers. And like you were saying, this communication that we're capable of doing that we're not doing. And we're supposed to use these to go forward. And I think that's the message that comes. What are you doing? I've been reading lately this story of Findhorn. Findhorn was a community that was started in the northeast of Scotland about the same time that Orville was started. Mm-hmm. And the people came there, I think, in 62. There were three people. And they started receiving all these inner messages about planting this garden. And what it finally came out was that they were receiving inner messages from the plants, from the energies that activated water and earth and wind and that activated each plant. And they were receiving these things. And what these things were basically saying were that mankind has got special talents that plants don't have. That mankind has special powers and capacities. And mankind is supposed to be using this to further everything, including plants and trees and everything. And mankind's taken a wrong turn, and mankind is not doing this. And Findhorn was started for this purpose, that all the consciousness that is in small, limited pieces as these various...
seeds.
These various spirits that activate each plant and spirits that activate water and spirits that activate wind. So not the full consciousness, but by this time it's narrowed for a certain purpose. Knowing its own purpose and knowing its source, there was an experiment going on to see if man could receive what these things had to say. And man did receive it. And Findhorn now is an educational center where people are being taught these things. And Findhorn's actually world famous. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose was to get man to stop his stupid running in the wrong directions and to come back and play his proper role with all the things. What you're supposed to be doing with all the things he's been given to play it. Because we're a miracle. We have so much that can be used and should be used and is not being used. And we're being told that in every way. And mother's messages were said, you know, naughty boy, nasty, nasty, you've done wrong, were just another way of the earth saying, look, I've been giving you all this stuff, and you're not doing it, and you've got to do it. And we're being told gently, and we're being told kindly, and we're being told lovingly. And then when we don't hear, I think what happens, actually, is that all the negativity that we manifest, that we're putting out, instead of the love and the beauty that's coming into us that we're supposed to be putting out, all that collects and comes back on us.
Simple as that, yeah.
Simple as that. I think that's the source of all this man-made catastrophes and stuff. I mean, if you think again about the Twin Towers, it happened to come through technology. But it still came from the people who, you know, were made of the earth, and the people who flew the planes and who made the plans into the Twin Towers and all that. They were still part of the earth, and they were still these wonderful beings, and all of what had come into them, all finally the negativities got their chance, and all these negative attractions called to each other, and the men had manifested on the physical plane.
Yeah, in the real.
And that's got to be true about these catastrophic natural things.
Many in the community think that we should do things more wisely, or maybe completely differently or something. What do you think how we should proceed from those broken trees onwards?
Okay, the bottom line is love. That's the bottom line. Love is what has made the universe. Love is what manifests the universe. Again, I'm going to go back to Mother Nshirmindo because in some research I did last year, Mother talks about how she becomes the origin of creation. And the creation manifests, she says, in great bursts, great gusts. They translate her French into English. Gusts of love. And the latest gust of manifestation from creation, the latest manifestation of love from the creation, was organized outwardly as Sri Aurobindo, the avatar Sri Aurobindo. So the most recent present infusion and burst and gust of love that's in the creation now, that's what the avatar is. It happened to also be expressible in one human being where he was able to express it on so many levels. And, of course, the mother, although she's not saying that. But that's the bottom line. That's where you start from. You do everything from that. Even if you want to punch the guy next to you in the nose and you just say, all right, I'm feeling love. All right, damn it, love. You know, and then you try it. You just have to say, you know, love and love and love and let me be love and all that. And so that's the start. And then you try to do everything as consciously as possible. And I think that simple combination
should work.
Well, it does work. It's just if people can do it, and if people are ready, and if people are open. And I would say Orville is a good place for that, because I think there are a lot of really fantastic people here who are open to all these things and who know all these things and who are doing all these things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.